kindly state your name.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Well, I think these guys are pretty darn dope.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
What?
A Cow Media station.
Are we on the air?
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here, brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, the match of the weekend is Liverpool on life support against what may be the only true title contenders now, to Chelsea in Spurs. And I know there are a lot of Spurs fans out there, so this is your time to revel in the glory of this match at Anfield. Can you go in and beat a big team on the road, Spurs fan? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in throughout the evening. As for Liverpool, well, Jurgen Klopp, Mane, and those men, in a quick 5 weeks, you go from dreaming of three trophies to now being out of title contention. Let's get after it tonight. 713-780-3776. Want your opinion. You may be driving around town in the car. Have a take. We do stream at ESPN 975. Facebook, Soccer Matters. And hit me up during the show on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. I'll read some of those tweets out. I can answer your questions as well and bring your topics up on the air. You always get the podcast of this show on iTunes at podcastarena.com. Again, 713-780-3776. As usual, the one and only Tyler Scott behind the glass here tonight as we revel in the glory of the city of Houston putting on just an amazing run-up to the Super Bowl. How prideful was the effort of those in town to get this pulled off? It's a great and prideful time to be a Houstonian. And then you get that defining game, a Super Bowl comeback that will always indelibly link Houston to that Super Bowl. Partaking in the festivities, we did that this week. Tyler Scott, you did it too. Your thoughts on Houston and our Super Bowl hosting?
Besides the crowds, I think that was kind of the only bad part. But other than that, man, it was amazing out there. We had awesome concerts. It seemed like everybody was kind of very cordial to each other. Wasn't any kind of like trash talking between different fans of teams. But I had a great time this past week. It was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. And I think that some of that Southern hospitality was showing through. And I think around the country and the world, people got a great sense that there's a lot more to Houston than just hot weather. By the way, we want to thank Camilo Rojas over at Bud Light for hooking us up.
Definitely want
to go see Gary Clark Jr., The Suffers, and, of course, ZZ Top. What a night that was with the backdrop of the skyline downtown. Providing just a wonderful sort of dressing up of that concert down there. It was amazing. All right. Guest tonight, Ian Joy. Covers the Bundesliga at Fox. Played in Germany. Played in the MLS. He'll be on the show tonight. Warren Barton, a frequent guest of this show. He's also a Fox analyst. Played in the Premier League for Newcastle United. He's on the show. And then American Soccer Now, Brian Sciarretta will come on the show. We're going to talk with all three of these guys on very differing topics. Ian Joy will talk more Bundesliga-related. Warren Barton, it'll be more about the Premier League, Liverpool-Spurs matchup. And then, of course, got some sound with Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan on the pros and cons of aligning with youth soccer clubs at Texas Rush and Space City. Don Gemmel and Randy Evans run those two clubs. The Dynamo will now inherit 5,500 players. It's wonderful. How do they navigate the youth community? Because the Dynamo still do want to be important to everyone and connect with everyone. I think a lot's being figured out for sure. Curriculums, things like that, what you're doing age-specific coaching-wise. It's all being carried out. But These are some of the big things happening in the world of the Houston Dynamo, including last night's Dynamo jersey unveiling. Dynamo fans, 713-780-3776. What do you think of the Dynamo jersey? Boy, jersey unveilings just get so much attention. So we can weigh in on that. Also, the big news, and I think this is huge. DeMarcus Beasley has re-signed with the Houston Dynamo. Per the Dynamo, saw this on Instagram. This is monster. This is a very, very big get to get DeMarcus back. Obviously, he's going to come back at a lower salary. I think the way it works in Major League Soccer, DeMarcus goes out. Remember, he said he didn't think he was coming back. This is all posturing in the negotiation process. He goes out. He tests the waters with his past contract, which was amongst the highest, if not the highest, on the Dynamo. The Dynamo wanted him back, didn't want him back at that number based on the salary cap, and it's all been figured out. So you got a back four now that could be DeMarcus Beasley on the left side, Adolfo Machado, Leonardo, and then on the right side, A.J. De La Garza. There's a lot of work to be done there to get consistency and movement in relation to the ball down, but that sounds like a pretty darn good back four. And sitting in front of that would be Cabezas as the shield. 713-780-3776. First segment here is brought to you by the King's Court. 903 Hutchins down in Edo. My friend Jay down there. They've got 13 TVs at King's Court. They show the Premier League matches. It's the home of Red Army, Manchester United, and Tom Clare. It's also the home of the Bayou City Blues. They show NFL Sunday Ticket. 24 taps, full bar, extensive selection of spirits, great pub food. They got a rooftop patio. It's a real soccer pub feel in downtown. If you want the real soccer pub feel, go over to Edo. Go over to King's Court, the corner of Walker and Hutchins. 903 Hutchins, the King's Court. There's been a lot of talk in and around the jerseys. Let's shift back now to something else that happened here. We got a little bit of sound from a friend of mine, Rodney Ndoumbe, who is from Cameroon. Cameroon, here's 30 seconds of sound here on what it meant, Cameroon winning the African Cup of Nations here, to a Cameroonian living in Houston, Rodney Ndoumbe.
Yeah, I was so happy because, you know, we finally got to the finals and we took the trophy. And so, you know, we're all happy. The country is celebrating more. So, you know, it's an unbelievable, you know, thing. So we're all happy and we look forward for the next African Cup of Nations. And I know my boys are going to do what they did. So we're always going to be there for the boys. And, you know, we hope to keep up, you know, the good job. Thank you.
African Cup of Nations goes to Cameroon. They'll go to the Confederations Cup. 713-780-3776. Any Cameroonian fans out there, you can weigh in tonight. We're also looking for Spurs, Liverpool fans, Manchester United fans, Houston Dynamo fans to weigh in here tonight. I think we have Ray on the line. Ray, what's on your mind tonight to start things off?
Glenn, I just want to say you have an awesome show, and I've got a couple of predictions for you for this weekend. That's why I love watching soccer here in America, because, like, it's great. You can watch it all day, all night. And the first one is Bayer Leverkusen versus Frankfurt. I think Frankfurt's going to win 2-1. I think Leverkusen is not having the season that they had last year due to a couple of injuries, and Chicharito's not scoring goals. But on the other hand, Jimmy Chandler and Marco Fabian have had very good seasons in their own right in the Bundesliga. And may finish in the top four for a Champions League spot. And then Liverpool Tottenham, I'm going to go with Spurs 2-0, because I think Liverpool's done. And
wow,
I know that
at Anfield,
the British
huh?
media has been very harsh on Pep for his stumbles for his first season. But the criticism of Klopp, in my personal opinion, it should be even greater because he's had a longer time there. And then I would also, at the end of the night, we're going to watch a Clásico del Tapatío and the prodigal son, Rafa Márquez, returns to Atlas, you know. And I'm going to go Chivas 3-0. I think if you look at on Wednesday, Chivas players performed very well in that Mexican friendly.
Yeah, now the word is Marquez is not going to play due to injury in that game. I like your thoughts on Leverkusen, Chicharito not scoring goals. They're currently 10th in the Bundesliga. I think you're going to like this, Ray, because later on Ian Joy, who knows a lot about the Bundesliga, is going to be on the show. And we'll also break down Spurs and Liverpool with Warren Barton as well of both those guys of Fox. So it is time for Liverpool to stop the madness of January and February. I don't think they made enough off-season signings. They still have not gotten a win in 2017. Spurs, on the other hand, it's 10 straight. They're undefeated. They have not lost. So pretty incredible.
Can you tell your German analyst to ask him about Marco Fabian? Because I think he's had a great time, considering that a lot of talk was that he was going to ride the bench and he wasn't going to do anything. But I think he's really stepped up his professionalism, because that was always questioned here. I mean, when he played in Mexico, particularly for Chivas, you saw the flashes of brilliance that he could have. And then it was a weird signing at the time. You know, many people didn't think that he was going to amount to a lot over there in Europe. And yet he's had a brilliant, I think.
Well, I think that was what I remember on this show talking when Marco Fabian was going to Germany. The thought here was, this is perfect, because in Germany it's pretty no-nonsense, as we all know, when it comes to professionalism, behavior. You get put into a container over there that's going to force you to be a part of that, because that is preached over there pretty religiously by these teams. So I think it's paid benefits for him, and I think it was a great career move for him as well.
Yeah, and it's crazy, because I mean, where do you play? Where he's playing so well, but where do you play him for the Mexican national team? Well, who's he taking? Whose spot is he taking?
You find a way. I mean, it's just another one of the talented players. Look, he's producing in Germany, right? So it's going to be one of the champagne problems that Juan Carlos Osorio has for the Mexican national team. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah. And like all I'm saying, it's good to see Chivas players are actually performing well for the Mexican national team, because you know this team, even though they only field Mexican players, it's been pretty light with Chivas players in recent years.
Understood.
I'm glad that Vergara's finally stepped away. I always compare him as he's the Jerry Jones of meddling of owners in Mexico, and everybody says that it's the Mexican only policy that's holding Chivas back, and I always felt that it's the ownership that's holding them back. It doesn't matter if they went out and bought a foreign player when it's rotten at the top. You know, everything tends to turn to mush.
Well, the culture of clubs are determined from the top. I don't think there's any question, and the leadership that is there. So I think you're bringing up a good point. That's a fun comparison, I think, as well, because there's no doubt Jerry Jones is certainly involved with trying to do the coaching of the team on a lot of occasions. Ray, I thank you very much. I'm going to keep an eye on your predictions.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
All right, 713-780-3776. Ray Wayne in here tonight. Just got a nice message here from Cliff McGrath. I don't know if people in Houston may know Cliff, but if you're involved in soccer around the country, he is headed to the Seattle Pacific Hall of Fame. He coached them into many national championships, but he's one of these guys out in Seattle. When you talk about the success of soccer in Seattle, and everybody says, oh, it's because the Sounders left and all that. I mean, because the Supersonics left. That's nonsense. There's so much history in Seattle with the game of soccer. Cliff McGrath, names like that, Brian Schmetz, who is now coaching the teams. These are guys who have been lifers in the Seattle soccer scene out there. And I'm definitely not mentioning, there's so many names you could mention out there. People that have done it in the youth game. The college game, the pro game, you name it. They kept reviving teams out there at the professional level. So real big congratulations to Cliff McGrath, who goes into the Seattle Pacific Hall of Fame. One of the good guys for the game of soccer, but an outstanding career. Real character as well, too. And I love that. We do need characters in entertainment. But what a great honor for Cliff. And we say congratulations. I think it's time to – I caught up with Romel Kyoto. today down at Dynamo Training. I got a quick couple of minutes here with Kyoto. Here's an interview I did with him. He's the Honduran striker. Hector with the Houston Dynamo staff is helping translate this interview. So here's Romel Kyoto, the Honduran international who's come to the Dynamo. Big things expected from him this season.
All right, let's just start off by asking Romel a little bit about the adjustment coming here to Houston and how it's going in preseason.
¿Cómo te está yendo en esta pretemporada y cómo ha sido tu ajuste a Houston?
Pues me está yendo muy bien. Estamos trabajando de buena manera para estar en buena forma para llegar bien a lo que va a ser el campeonato.
It's going well. We're working really, really good in order to be in shape for the season.
Has it been more comfortable having some Spanish-speaking teammates and guys he knows from Honduras in the team?
¿Te sientes más cómodo ya que tienes gente que habla español y gente que conoce de la selección catracha?
Sí, es bonito estar en un equipo así cuando te encuentras con compañeros que son de tu misma nacionalidad, que hablan tu mismo idioma, pero creo de que todo el resto del equipo... se trata de que uno se sienta bien.
It's really good when you find people from your nationality that speak the same language, and you know, but it's a matter of, you know, the whole team coming together as one.
All right, everybody knows that he's been brought here to beat people, to penetrate, to get behind defenses, to make things happen. It's an element the Dynamo have been missing. Is he fully aware of that this year, from an attacking perspective, he's a huge piece of what's going on here?
¿Estás consciente de que eres una gran pieza para el ataque de este equipo este año?
Sí, estoy muy consciente de eso. Creo de que por eso me contrataron, para ser una pieza fundamental. Falta demostrarlo dentro de la cancha, partido a partido, para que el equipo pueda tener buenos resultados.
I'm aware of that. Let's just demonstrate it game by game in the field so that the team can have good results.
Is he aware of the large Honduran community here in Houston of around 300,000 people?
¿Estás consciente que hay cerca de más de 300,000 habitantes hondureños aquí en Houston?
Sí, claro, creo de que eso va a ser fundamental para nosotros. Creo de que nos vamos a sentir respaldados en los partidos. Creo que vamos a tener ese apoyo para poder pues sentirnos bien.
I'm aware of it, and it's going to be important to have the support so that we can feel, you know, at home and during the games.
How big is it a year for him internationally with Honduras, with Gold Cup and so much all in the future here?
¿Cómo te sientes acerca de lo que va a pasar con la selección, con la Copa de Oro acercándose y todo lo que tiene la selección en este año?
No, creo que tengo que esperar pues que cuál es la decisión que se toma, si puedo ser convocado o no por el profesor Pinto. Esperar de que se pongan de acuerdo con el equipo y poder estar ahí. Creo de que la selección de Honduras pues está pasando por un gran momento.
You know, just gotta wait and see if I'm gonna be called for the national team and play good. And also, you know, I know that the national team is going through a good time.
Romel Kyoto joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Last question before we let him go. Does he think his game will have to adjust at all to Major League Soccer and the differences in the way this league is played?
¿Crees que tu estilo de juego se va a tener que ajustar a la Major League Soccer a como viene de Honduras?
Sí, creo que la liga de Honduras es una liga diferente a la Major League Soccer. Entonces, tengo que adaptarme al tipo de juego de acá para poder estar bien, para poder seguir mucho tiempo acá.
I'm going to have to adapt myself. I think the playing style is different, but I'm going to have to adapt well in order to be able to be here for a while.
What would he have to adapt specifically?
¿Qué es lo que te tienes que adaptar específicamente?
Creo que el fútbol de acá es más fuerte, es un fútbol más ordenado. Entonces, creo de que dentro de la cancha pues se tiene que aplicar bastante lo que es la parte táctica.
You know, I think it's a bit tougher and it's much more ordered, the game here. So, what it's the tactics of the game have to be, you know, adapted.
Romel, thank you very much. Gracias.
Okay. Gracias. Thank you.
All right, so down there today, you could tell, very windy down there at the Houston Sports Park and Dynamo Training.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. We bring you back with Gary Clark Jr. Fun little story. We got, as everybody knows, producer Tyler Scott's a big music guy like me. I can't play anything, but I collect, I listen, I know names, I know songs. Pretty good most, not too good in certain areas, but... So when I got told that I could go to this Gary Clark ZZ Top Suffers, by the way, I said, well, got to do my producer right here. So we went down there, and we're standing there watching the show, and you know, I'm talking to a lady, and I finally figure out, oh, it's Gary Clark Jr.'s sister-in-law, and then his sister's there, and his parents are there, and... You know, they were really, really nice people, just really genuine people. And then Gary Clark Jr. came out and was talking to his family behind us. And producer Tyler Scott went for the, what did we do?
Selfie, I guess.
Yeah, and he pulled me into the selfie, you know. So
there it was. Cool. He was super nice about it, so it was awesome.
What a guitar player, too. I mean, what a talent. Incredible. Austin, Texas. So we welcome you back. Best in Soccer Talk, ESPN 97.5, self-proclaimed. And as we welcome you back, just another quick reminder here for the Daspit Law Firm. Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit, personal injury attorneys, they bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. It doesn't matter whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm's going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. So fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-4878 is the number. We did mention, again, big one this weekend is Liverpool and Spurs. It's at Anfield. Intense pressure, I believe, on Liverpool for this one. Their crazy month of January and February, a matter of 5 weeks, they go from being contenders to being kind of also hands right now, and just people wondering if they're going to be able to reclaim some of the football that they were playing. You know, I know Mane went away to the African Cup of Nations. There's all kinds of reasons why. I still don't think they bought enough in the offseason, especially defensively. Warren Barton will be on the show later on. He'll talk a little bit about this. It does have the potential to be an open game. It also has the potential that Spurs may be a little less open. With the knowledge that Liverpool plays better soccer against teams that are open. Liverpool lost to Hull 2-0. They had 72% of the possession. They struggle against deep defending teams. So if the game's a little bit more open, and I think Tottenham knows this, it could play into the cards of Liverpool. If you aren't Tottenham Hotspur, you want the game's first goal because you want doubt to creep into the minds of Liverpool in this. In the case of Liverpool, they've had a week of full training now. So going into this game, that's a positive for them. And if you're a Spurs fan, well, you're excited. It's a team that's matured, and Dele Alli has matured from last season. Had 10 goals last year, has already got 11. Seems to carry himself in an even more professional way. They're young. You have the Posh, Mauricio Pochettino, who is clearly just an incredible manager. So it's a good time to be a Spurs fan. It's one to watch this weekend. Spurs against Liverpool. It'll come from Anfield. So not a game to miss this weekend and watch. We'll take a quick break here. As we go to break, don't forget the Sportsman's Dinner Evening with Norman Whiteside, the famous Manchester United player. Manchester United and Northern Ireland. They played for them at 17 in the World Cup. Dinner, raffle, auction, tickets $135. Get them over at Facebook, groups/Houston Red Army. The event is Friday, June 16th. It benefits the 501c charity Curing Children's Cancer Fund, which I sit on the board, and hopefully we're going to take a table down there for that. I will be there for sure. It is going to be a big event. Again, Facebook groups/Houston Red Army. If you're a Manchester United fan or a Chelsea fan, Bobby Tambling, one of the all-time leading scorers at Chelsea, will be there as well. We'll take a break.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Hey.
against all society.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We keep rolling on tonight. We got another great interview coming up with Ian Joy, a Fox analyst, works on the Bundesliga, played in the Bundesliga in Germany, also in Major League Soccer. He's coming up, but a quick word here for Liberty Kitchen, who brings us the interview with Ian. Everybody knows I'm passionate about food, my friends over at the Liberty Kitchen. They serve it up great, lunch, supper, brunch, it doesn't matter. Think of it as modern American comfort food, their classics taken up several notches. Great burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder. It is farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen will put their stamp on. They'll claim it. They'll own it. It's big flavor served at a neighborhood social. Some of the staples over there, deviled eggs with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken. I hit the gumbo constantly with blue crab. And then you got the oysters on the half shell. Po' boys, chops, steaks, ribs, fish, rounds out the menu. Cocktails, cold beer. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. Lunch, supper, and brunch. Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and Treehouse, Memorial City. With that, when Ian Joy comes on the show. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, and right back at you. You're doing a tremendous amount of work out there with Fox and the Bundesliga, and having been involved with the league, I kind of want to gear this interview with you onto the Bundesliga and about it. It's kind of about time that the Bundesliga had the light shined on it, right, through Fox. It is the world's largest attended soccer league. You played in it. Just talk about some of the positives that fans get out of week in and week out watching the Bundesliga.
Well, I think you're right. Obviously, now it has a platform that it really deserves with Fox showing it week in and week out. You can pretty much watch every single Bundesliga game, whether it be online or on live Fox networks. The league is entertaining. That's the most important part about it. There's a lot of goals, the highest number of goals in the top five European leagues per game on an average basis. And obviously the attendance is quite incredible. Every stadium sold out. It's just fantastic, Glenn. I mean, it's wonderful football. It's entertaining to watch. The atmosphere makes it extra special. And the games are always unpredictable. You never quite know who's going to win.
Everybody in the United States, obviously, you know, leans towards the Premier League. What are the differences, you think, in the two leagues? And it could be tactics. It could be the way individuals play the game. It could be the way the league is structured. What do you think is the difference between the two leagues? And I'm not saying one's better than the other here.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to pick apart the Premier League and say that it's not worth watching and the Bundesliga should be more worth watching. I think both leagues are equally as entertaining. Both leagues spend a lot of money on players. I think if there is a difference between the two leagues, there's a lot more youth development going on in Germany. And in the Bundesliga, they give a lot of kids an opportunity to perform and play at the highest level. Mm. Obviously, the Bundesliga knows that it's a selling league. When they create these players and they put them into the biggest platform and they go on and play well, they know that there will be a lot of money to be had with the sale of these players. So the Bundesliga has lost many great players to the Premier League and to other leagues around the world simply down to the fact that it is a great business. It's well run. The organization is simply fantastic. But I think that the entertainment value is the most fingers pointed at it, simply down to the fact that there's a lot of goals in every single game. No team tries to defend. No team doesn't want to lose. Every single team wants to win. They want to try and attack. They want to score goals. They want to entertain the fans. And I think that's the biggest difference between the Premier League and the Bundesliga. You get the opportunity to go and watch goals week in and week out. And in the Premier League, you never quite know if that's going to happen.
He's Fox analyst Ian Joy, also former professional soccer player in Germany, also in Major League Soccer. So what I just heard you say, and I know you're not talking about the Bayerns of the world and the Dortmunds, but you are saying in some ways some of these clubs obviously are interested in showcasing their players, doing the business of buying and selling and, you know, taking a profit on guys that ultimately get to the Premier League. So does that mean the Bundesliga is slightly subservient to the Premier League? Is every league in the world subservient to the Premier League?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, what you're witnessing around the world, that money really talks. And
what's happening in the English Premier League right now is that there's a big focus on TV revenue. Every single club earns billions of dollars or millions of dollars every single year through television money and the revenue that's brought in through Sky or from BT Sport in the UK and around the world. They sell this product, as we've seen in the United States, that it's worth $1 billion over a five-year period. That is something quite unbelievable. So the Premier League is a business now. And around the world, what you're seeing, wherever that money is being spent, the Premier League has it to spend, even the lower teams in the Premier League. So they can go and handpick the best talented players from the Bundesliga at ease, and the Bundesliga clubs cannot compete with the money or the salaries that are being offered in the Premier League. It's simply a fact. So I think it's a good thing for the Bundesliga that it is this way, because what we are seeing is a lot of young players getting an opportunity to play that they probably wouldn't get. England's a great example of that. The youth academies, there's so much money spent on it in England, and they just don't give the opportunities to the kids coming through, whereas in Germany, you're seeing that. So there's a great chance for some of these kids to come through, to play at the highest level, and be sold to either England or to Spain or to some of the top teams in the world. Even it could be Bayern Munich within the German league who have the money to spend. So unfortunately, it's the way that we are expecting, where the Premier League has the dollars to spend, and they're willing to spend it. So every single player around the world is always interested in a dollar sign.
Yeah, it's interesting because what you just described there leads me to the fact that there's no confidence factor. Nobody's worried about that in Germany. I mean, obviously the fans still come out, and nobody's calling it a second-rate product. You know, we hear that all the time over here. Oh, I can't go to an MLS game because, you know, it's hard for me to be relative because I watch the Premier League all the time. But with the attendance in Germany, obviously that's not a problem to them.
No, it's not. And the fans love to watch their local team. Fans will travel all across Germany to support the team that they were either born in or have supported since they were a kid. And realistically, when you're inside Germany, you don't hear a hint of any other action from the other top four leagues around the Bundesliga. Everybody is focused on the Bundesliga. Everyone is focused on the German teams having success in European competition, and they love their Bundesliga. I mean, right now in Germany, you can only watch the Premier League on an online basis. You can't even watch it on Sky Germany or Primera, as it used to be called, where you could get every week two or three games live on television. Now it's only available online. So that goes to show that the demand for the Bundesliga is very high, and it continues to get high. So it's nice to see around the world it getting the respect that it deserves. And with the deal that the Bundesliga did with Fox, I think it involves something like 100 different countries around the world where Fox will broadcast the games. You're starting to see the Bundesliga recognize the value of showcasing their games around the world, whereas before, the Bundesliga sort of kept it as a secret in Germany, where the Germans could love their own league. Now they recognize this is a worldwide product. There's a lot more stars from around the world coming to the Bundesliga, and everybody wants to watch it. So it's interesting to watch it grow.
He's Fox's Ian Joy joining us, one of the analysts over there, host. He can do it all. He's also a former professional soccer player in Germany in Major League Soccer. The access to the Premier League, as far as viewing it in Germany that you just described there, is that a bit of a protectionist move by those who run the German league in cooperation with networks over there to make it something that's not as easily accessible to the German fan to watch?
No, I don't believe so. I think the way that they run Germany on a television basis is the fact that they know that the Bundesliga is the highest watched league in Germany, and it always will be, simply down to the fact that the people love their own league. They don't really care too much about the other leagues that are going on around them. So there's a great deal of focus solely on putting on Bundesliga games on live television. Now, one of the reasons why the stadiums are so packed week in and week out with high attendances is the fact that they don't show live games at 3:30 local time in Germany so that people continue to go to the stadiums. And if there was an opportunity to have the Premier League, it could hit into that time where people might choose not to go to a Bundesliga game. They could stay at home and watch an English Premier League game. So there may be a factor to it, but I highly doubt it. I think it's just the fact that an online company went into a bidding process and paid the highest price and won it.
Gotcha. The soccer culture there is amazing. I remember doing the U.S.-Germany game for ESPN in Dortmund, and it was a memorable night being in there. Just the German soccer culture, being able to feel it and just breathe it in was just remarkable. I mean, as good a soccer culture as there is in the world. I'm going to take you into Philipp Lahm now. Were you surprised about his departure, you know, at the end of this Bayern Munich season?
Not really surprised. Maybe because he could potentially go on and play another 2 or 3 years. He seems to be that type of guy that's got great fitness levels. He's Mr. Consistent in Germany. He made the decision after the World Cup in 2014, which they won, to retire from the national team. And I thought that was because he wanted to play another 5 or 6 years in his career. I didn't expect him to retire 3 years after winning the World Cup. Maybe on the outside you can see a player that's willing to run and kick and have fun and enjoy and have that desire. But the problem is, when you translate that to what's going on inside your head and maybe the heart, you've sort of lost a bit of passion when you've achieved a lot in the game. And going and turning up for preseason training isn't as enthusiastic as you normally once were. You've pretty much achieved everything there is in the game. So if you feel like you've lost that desire for the game inside your own body or inside your own mind, then you know it's the right time to give up. And I think that's maybe the case. Physically, I think Philipp Lahm could continue to play for another 3 or 4 years. But I'm pretty sure Glenn will see him step into a coaching role or some sort of business role, executive role within the Bundesliga, potentially at Bayern Munich, because he's that type of guy. Wonderful talent, great personality on the field. I mean, he really was a player that could play anywhere on the field, left, right, up front, down the wings, wherever it was. He was Mr. Consistent and still is when he plays in the Bundesliga. He'll be a big loss.
Seems like a very intelligent guy. That's interesting you say. He is, you know, as players move on, clubs have the opportunity to keep these guys around, and they have to be guys that can do more than shake hands in some cases. I mean, this is a guy that I think will do more than shake hands, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've seen it personally in Major League Soccer. When we see talented players moving away from the game on the field, I mean, probably Brian Ching would be a great example for you. Trying to keep them around the club would be massively important. And sometimes the business executives have other ideas. They're not too interested in keeping these players around. But for the development of players around the team, for the first 11, for the squad players inside the dressing room, you can't put a price on having someone with so much experience who's been there and done it in that domestic league. You cannot put a price on it. So it'll be interesting to me see what his next step will be. But it's never an easy guess. With a player like Philipp Lahm, who's achieved everything in the game, he could potentially just walk away and you never hear from him again.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, I got to take you to this ugly incident with Dortmund, because I just love the Dortmund crowd. But this Dortmund-Leipzig thing with Dortmund supporters attacking, sadly, kids and women and families. What's this all about? And the whole Leipzig-Red Bull thing. Explain this to my listeners, Ian, because there's this anti-corporate thing, I guess, that's going on. It seemed pretty disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, the actual incident that took place was quite a shock, really. I never expected it to happen. Leipzig have a reputation now within the Bundesliga of buying success. We've seen it in many leagues around the world where they spend a lot of money, and it's been Red Bull who's invested that money into Leipzig. And year after year, they've got promoted all the way up to the Bundesliga, and where they currently sit second in the table behind Bayern Munich. So there has been a financial investment that's brought them that success. And the German fans, or the typical German fan, does not quite like that investment and that process. They would rather have it to be a traditional club that is steeped in history and obviously fought hard to get into the Bundesliga and into the position that they're in, mm-hmm. whereas Leipzig can spend the most amount of money possible to bring in the best players around the world to compete. And obviously at this moment in time, it's working. So Dortmund is a great example. They're a team that cannot afford to continue to spend the highest amounts of money and compete with Bayern Munich at the top of the table. They have to go for younger players who are at a cheaper price and try to utilize their history, their incredible attendance, as you know from being in Dortmund, 80,000 fans week in and week out. Players want to play there. So Dortmund try to attract those players that are a little cheaper but great talents. And in Leipzig, their club can just go ahead and buy the best players and spend the most money. And Dortmund fans didn't like that. So there has been obviously a clash with some of the ultras out of Dortmund who didn't like the situation, didn't like being so close to the Leipzig fans. And don't forget, this is an East Germany versus West Germany club as well. So that may have something to do with it. I think it's just the fact that the fans around Germany and around the Bundesliga simply don't like the fact that Red Bull have invested so much money and bought their success within the league. And you know the Germans, they love their football, they love their history, and they want it to be done the right way. And if anybody steps on that, they'll certainly let their feelings known, and I think that was the case. It's unfortunate that it happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure attacking women and children is the best way to make your point. Pretty disgusting. But the Dortmund upper management came out and condemned it, and we'll see what happens. Give me one of the players that we here in the United States, in the Bundesliga, that you think could be one of the next rising stars. You can maybe give me two if you want.
Well, obviously we know about one of them right now, with Christian Pulisic and his form at Borussia Dortmund. He's been simply outstanding. He has been absolutely fantastic. But there are a lot of big players who are getting their opportunity to play at the highest level in the Bundesliga who surprised many. And I have to go back to RB Leipzig to look at one player in particular who's caught my attention over the last couple of years, and that was Timo Werner. He's a goal scorer. He's only 20 years old. He's a striker that's so important to Leipzig's success so far this season. He was bought from Stuttgart, who got relegated last year. And in the 18 games that he's played so far this season, he's got 11 goals. In the Bundesliga, it's not always easy to score goals, especially when you're a 20-year-old kid. And they rely heavily on him. So he had a high price tag coming in. I think it was about $11 million that Leipzig paid for him. But they did it with ease because they can pay a high salary and spend 10 million euros or $11 million on a player like that and easily go ahead and have success. But there's so many of them, Glenn. Every single team that you look around the league, you will see a talented youngster who's on the international level just flirting around with the top national team, the first team, and getting their chance. Bayern Munich, for a great example, they brought in one of my favorite players that I really have admired over the last two or three years, in Joshua Kimmich. He's only 22 years old, recently moved to Bayern Munich, and sort of the Philipp Lahm type of player where he can play anywhere around the field. He can play right or left. I think he's happiest playing in a central midfield role where he can get forward and score goals. So he was brought in last year by Pep Guardiola, and you might remember the image against Borussia Dortmund in Dortmund when Pep Guardiola was grabbing this young kid round the head and speaking to him intensely. That was Joshua Kimmich, and he made one of his first games against Borussia Dortmund and has been an absolute standout performer every single time he's in the starting 11. Still only 22 years old, he will be a German international to come for many, many years. So keep an eye out for those two.
We will, and of course, Pulisic has probably got a lot of people in the United States watching you and your coverage on Fox of the Bundesliga. Ian, thank you very much. I know you got a very important day tonight. I'm going to let you get going, and thank you very much for coming on the program.
It's always a pleasure talking to you. I'll speak to you soon.
All right, that's Ian Joy, a Fox analyst out in California, works on the Bundesliga weekly, former professional player in Germany and in Major League Soccer as well. Always good to get him on the show. Before we hit a quick break here,